Vicki Eisman joining us. Vicki, a spokesperson for Free Mark Fogels, worked in D.C. for a number of years. And Vicki, a graduate like Mark Fogel of IUP. And Vicki, we share the commonality of being graduates from Homer Center, too. But first of all, a great day for Mark Fogel, a great day for his family, and really for Indiana, Pennsylvania, where we have been pulling for this day, and across America, isn't it?
It is such a great day, and thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that. We're so excited to have Mark back where he belongs.
Vicki, 3.5 years this has gone on, I believe, and something really that shouldn't have happened. He didn't deserve this, did he?
He did not deserve this. Mark is a hero, and I know that he would cringe if I said that, but he, both Mark and his wife, had taught for 10 years the children of American diplomats in Russia, and it was actually a good experience for him. This was going to be his 36th year teaching, his 10th and final year in Russia, and he was planning on retiring to Pittsburgh after this last year.
I think there was hope in, correct me if I'm wrong, in 2022 and maybe hope again last year under the former administration, but that hope turned into huge disappointment, and finally that day has come, and your role has been incredible, and I know you've had support from so many, including an attorney in Pittsburgh. We can talk about that. We can also talk about two presidents, the president of IUP that we heard from on our own news, IUP President Michael Driscoll, who, of course, you know, and newly elected President Donald Trump. But first of all, maybe tell our listeners about the ongoing dialogue with Dr. Driscoll at IUP and how that all started.
I will say Dr. Driscoll actually called me, so I went to IUP, and I represent IUP in D.C., but he called me on a personal note. He's become a friend as well, and he called me and said, hey, are you following this these issues with Brittany Griner? It was that far long ago, and I said, I am, and he said, well, there's another person who's been detained, and he's from the university. His sister called me. Could you speak with her? And I said, yes, and that started this three-year odyssey, and so much credit goes to him because he has been involved consistently throughout it.
And what about your role and the role of others that you have been aligned with, including the attorney from Pittsburgh that you told me about off mic?
So her name is Sasha Phillips, and she has represented the family, and she has just been outstanding. There's another person, Robert Strick, who has sort of not been front and center on this, but he's been so very helpful to me. He's done these types of things in the past, and he'll probably kill me if he hears me say this, but has a very good heart. And I think particularly Mark's mother's plight really spoke to him because he has a mother that with whom he's very close. And I think that I must give credit to those two for really making this happen.
Newly elected President Donald Trump, we had sound from Mark Fogel's mom, Melfine, and she met him in Butler, actually was scheduled, I think, to be on stage with him before the would-be assassination attempt. And she talked about how cordial President Trump was, and he made a promise to her that day that if elected, he will bring him home, and that day has come. Talk about the importance of President Trump, Secretary Rubio, and others that played such a role in today's development.
Well, another hat tip to Christine Ciretti, who organized this for us. And we did. We went to the rally, and it was very hot, and President Trump did, and he got there. And when he met Mrs. Fogel, she has a bad knee, and he was so gracious. He put out his hand. He helped her move across the wires. He spoke with her. I will tell you that when people, you see this when he gets on podcasts, but you don't expect it in just a couple seconds you're with him, but he asked her questions. He asked where Mark was located, and he had been prepped before, and this is a businessman, and Mrs. Fogel knew what she had to do to get her son home, and she said, I need to bring my son home. Will you commit to bring him home? And President Trump, and I heard him say it as she tells, he told her three times he would bring him home if he was elected, and here is a man of his word, and he did that.
Hearing her, 95 years young, so impressive. She's as sharp as a 35-year-old, right?
You have no idea. This woman is amazing, and she's stoic, and she has been the best mother anyone could ever have. I get a little, my voice trembles a little bit there because I have become very close with her and her family and his sisters and, of course, Jane and Mark's two boys. But I will tell you that a mother's love can really bring two worlds together, and I do believe that she willed him home.
You know, the thing about this is, Vicki, that 3.5 years, what he's been through, I guess we will learn. But even though reuniting with family will be the best part of this story is not going to end. I would think after 3.5 years, he's going to need a lot of support to get his total footing back, if you will.
I do agree. I was able to speak with him twice when he called from prison when I was staying with his mother. He has felt isolated. I don't think any of us could really understand that, just how isolated he was in a 1,300-person prison, I would guess, 4 hours north of Moscow in a cell where no one else spoke English. I do believe that he felt his country had forgotten him and that, you know, perhaps we were embarrassed of him. We weren't. I can't tell you, both Republicans and Democrats, the people who stood for him, and there may have been some people in the last administration who didn't prioritize him, but I will tell you this. There were so many, from Congressman DeLuzio to Senator Fetterman, Senator Casey as well, but Dave McCormick and these others, Congressman Reschenthaler was there through everything, and he had all of these people from the members and senators to staffers pushing and pulling for him. And he needs to understand that. We need to make Mark whole again. And I really feel that his story is not over. And that's what I would ask the community to focus on. Once he gets back and once he goes through whatever he needs to go through, he'll be taken to a facility where they will work with him physically and mentally for I don't know what period of time. But when he comes back, my greatest hope is that we can express to him that we never forgot him, that he had so much support, and we are proud of him, and we are thankful for his 35 years of teaching children mm-hmm. of American diplomats, and that we are going to do what we can to make him whole as he can be again.
Vicki, I really appreciate you doing this. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I don't think so, but I would like to thank President Trump. I would like to thank Secretary of State Rubio, who met with this family when he was a senator and committed his support. I would like to thank Dave McCormick. I would like to thank Congressman Reschenthaler and Mike Kelly and DeLuzio and so many more people. It is important that everybody who supported him knows how much that meant to get us here, and it's important that he knows that.
Vicki, thank you for doing this once again. Vicki Eisman, spokesperson for Free Mark Fogle. Vicki, he is free at last.
Thank you. Thank you very much.